Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Ryan Pavone. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Today is not only a new year, but it's also a new session at the Missouri General Assembly. Are you excited?
Oh, I couldn't be happier.
All right. Kind of give us an idea, first of all, for those who may not be familiar with how Missouri government works or doesn't work, how it's supposed to work.
Right. Yeah. So lawmakers take about 6 months out of the year to actually write laws and create legislation. So that kicks off today with all 163 members of the House and 34 members of the Senate will convene in their respective chambers and then get started working on legislation,
which then
goes to the governor and gets signed into law.
Okay. That's the best case scenario, right?
Right. Best case scenario.
All right. So let's kind of walk through how a bill becomes a law for those who maybe don't remember the Schoolhouse Rock version here, which we'll put in our show notes as a fun reminder of how a bill becomes a law. But you don't have to sing it, but maybe walk us through how this would work.
Yeah. So certainly not all pieces of legislation that lawmakers file get signed into law. I think they've filed about 900 bills so far.
Wow.
That's a lot. So
yeah.
They won't all get signed into law. What happens is they get kind of sorted into different committees, and then they hold hearings on the legislation and then debate it on the floor, and then it goes to the other chamber for approval. But it's a pretty lengthy process. They try to, I think, make it as public as they can so that you can voice your opinion on the bills and help them and help inform the lawmakers of potential pitfalls or how the legislation could be beneficial for, you know, certain communities or anything like that.
Sure. So the last few weeks and next few weeks are going to be focused on the House Speaker, the Senate Pro Tem, naming committee chairs who will oversee those committees, as well as then funneling the legislation to those committees that he or she deems most worthy of consideration.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are two new leaders in the legislature this year. There's a new Speaker of the House who should, like you said, control legislation in the House and kind of direct it where to go. And then there's also a new floor leader in the Senate.
Okay.
And she's actually the first woman to serve as a Senate floor leader.
All right. So kind of walk us through how this session, what folks think this session is going to be like compared to the previous session, which was a little dysfunctional, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. So not much got done last session. The Senate ended up blocking a lot of legislation due to filibusters, primarily centered around the congressional maps. So if you might remember the big fight over whether or not to give one party an advantage over the other in Congress, ended up stalling a bunch of legislation in the budget for a while. But this year, lawmakers, they're a little bit more optimistic that they'll get their priorities across the finish line. It seems that attitudes are maybe a little bit better, especially with some of the new lawmakers coming in because of the November election. So,
yeah. You know, I'm often reminded, I've heard lobbyists say, when they comment about last year, that the dysfunction, the inability to pass legislation is not always a bad thing, that sometimes it really slowed some bad legislation down to the point where it could die.
Right.
But as you mentioned, our local reps have certainly suggested that there's a more congenial attitude among different sides of the aisle. So as we head forward, let's maybe talk about some of the priorities that our local reps have that they want to see pushed through.
Yeah, so I would say probably the biggest priority of the local reps would be legislation surrounding state workers. So the state government is the largest workforce in Jefferson City area, our largest employer, and the local lawmakers have filed legislation to ask for biweekly pay. That's something that they did last year. It got all the way to the governor's desk, and then he vetoed it because it was tied up with some other legislation he didn't like. So they're reintroducing that, and that's a priority, they said, which would give state workers an extra 2 paydays each year. So that's one priority. Another idea that they have is to give state workers another pay raise. So they got one last year, but they said it didn't keep up with inflation. So state agencies are still struggling to recruit and retain workers, and pay is the largest reason, they say.
Well, I know Senator Bernskeetter, who represents District 6 here in Jefferson City, also is interested in continuing the renovations or the work at the state capitol. So let's talk about that a bit.
Yeah, so there's a $500 million capital master plan. So The legislature funded $300 million of it last year. And so Bernskeiter wants that remaining portion to be funded so that they could focus more on interior capital improvements. A lot of the larger renovation projects are focused on the outside and kind of internal operations of the building. So like heating and cooling and window work and that massive exterior renovation project a couple years ago. So yeah, he wants to focus more on the interior now.
Yeah, I will say, and we have great interest in what happens at the Capitol from a structural standpoint, just as a member of the community, obviously. And so as you look across newspapers across the state, that may not be big news to them, but I think there's some value in it because it is such a draw to this city, from tours to just the machinery that exists within that helps fund the economy of the capital city.
Mm-hmm.
So along those lines, joining Senator Bernskeiter will be Senator Travis Fitzwater. Newly elected state senator representing, I guess, all of Callaway County. He takes the seat from term-limited Jeannie Riddle. So kind of walk us through maybe Senator Fitzwater's priorities he has for this year.
Yeah, so he said his priorities for the upper chamber are mostly to kind of continue the work that he's done in the House. He said he really wants to focus on protecting communities and protecting children. So he's filed legislation to like child care facilities tax exempt. He's also filed legislation to allow electric utility companies to use their infrastructure to kind of assist in broadband development. So that's another economic issue that he sees the state needing to kind of focus on, I think, broadband expansion. He also is really interested, he said, in kind of safeguarding the state against federal overreach. So I'm not sure exactly how that what that looks like yet as far as legislation, but another area that he's interested in is kind of beefing up the state's economy so that it can protect itself against a recession.
Okay. So in the immediate Jefferson City area, we've got Representative Rudy Veit and Representative Dave Griffith, who both won re-election in November. So what are their priorities going forward?
Griffith is really still championing veterans and veterans affairs. He's got legislation seeking to kind of aid in veteran suicide prevention efforts. I imagine he'll focus more on those kinds of issues. And then Veit has a really, I think, interest in kind of cleaning up internal government affairs and making processes a little bit more efficient and simpler. I know one of his pet projects this session is to provision an election bill from last year. And so he wants to reinstate the presidential primary, which was eliminated last year.
Okay. So some general legislation I know that we'll be watching will be sports gaming, efforts to reform elections. What else is on our radar that we need to be thinking about?
A major kind of item will be the budget again this year. Mm-hmm. The state passed a record-breaking budget. It was like $49 billion last year. I think the expectation is that the budget is going to be a little bit smaller this year just because the state doesn't have as much federal funds flowing through it. But they say revenue growth is still strong with kind of prices going up. That means you pay more taxes too. So.
Sure. Well, as we get started with our election coverage, I will encourage you who are listening to reach out to us if there are pieces of legislation or issues you think the legislature is talking about or should be talking about. We welcome those. You can certainly express those in letters to the editor by dropping us an email at editor@newstribune.com. You can also drop me an email at gary@newstribune.com. We'd love to be in conversation with you about what legislation you think is worthy of consideration for Jefferson City. So I know another big topic is going to be initiative petitions. It's been on the hot seat for a couple sessions, but it seems to be gaining some traction now. So kind of give folks an idea as to why we're talking about initiative petitions first.
So I think there's been more of a national movement within state legislatures to look at initiative petition, which is the process that allows a regular voter to put an item on a ballot. So I think that there's been a larger national movement. It's more centered around like the abortion debate with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, because states have enacted abortion protections through initiative petitions to kind of curb that. State legislatures, mostly Republican controlled, are looking to reform the process to make it a little bit more difficult to get an actual question on the ballot. Or even for that question to pass.
Well, and three recent examples would be Medicaid expansion that failed multiple times in the legislature, but it did pass through an initiative petition. Also, medical marijuana and then later recreational marijuana. Again, similar situation. So what are folks who are supportive of initiative petition? What's their argument for why legislators should not touch it?
So they say that legislators should avoid the topic because there's no more direct form of democracy, because you can put a question on the ballot ballot and then automatically kind of pose that to your fellow voters. But the other argument against it is that it's a lot of, they say, corporate interests that are pushing these ideas, and they're funded through out-of-state entities, they say. So it's really easy to change Missouri's constitution if you have enough money or if you're organized well enough.
Right. Well, and some legislators would argue also that the petitions are not always vetted as well as legislation is. So some of the concerns, for instance, with recreational marijuana as far as penalties and enforcement are still kind of nebulous as we're going forward here and will probably end up being settled in court. So, So there's that aspect of it too. And so one of the ways that they're trying to pull back the use of initiative petition is to basically raise the level of what it qualifies to be an initiative petition, right?
Right. Some legislation looks to raise the threshold. So right now, I think you need to get a certain amount of signatures in 6 of the 8 congressional districts the state has. But I saw one piece of legislation that would make it so you have to get enough signatures in all 8 congressional districts. Other pieces of legislation don't necessarily touch that part, but they raise the amount that the proposition has to pass by. So instead of a simple majority, 50% of voters, it would be 60% of voters have to approve of the question.
All right. Well, as we say, so the legislature kicks off today, being Wednesday. One of the nice things about being in the capital city is the accessibility of the capital to folks who, if they wanted to come see legislation being worked on or to go talk to their legislators. It's very convenient. So just as a brief user's guide here, what's the easiest way to get into the capital? What are some things you should consider that you might have to encounter, such as being screened going in? What are some things that someone who has not been to the Capitol recently needs to be aware of?
So you'll want to enter the Capitol through the front doors. You do a get screened, like you said, you go through a metal detector. After that, it's pretty open, so you can visit your lawmakers' offices, which are on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th floor. So you'll want to maybe check online. You can find their offices there and go directly there, or you can even visit the chamber and watch proceedings in chambers, or visit hearing rooms if you're interested in a specific hearing. And you can find that schedule online as well on the House and Senate pages. You can also watch live feeds of those too.
All right.
In the House.
All right, Ryan. Well, we're excited to get this going. So as you head off to the Capitol to get things going, we wish you luck and thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.